This is Superpower State of Mind with me, Marlon Anderson. A huge welcome back if you've listened to the first couple of episodes, and a big welcome if this is your first time listening. Catch up on what you've missed in your podcast feed. Today's guest might not be someone you're familiar with, but you should be. Mandy Morris is the best at manifestation. If you follow me on socials, you'll know I'm a huge advocate for manifestation, and today I'll have Mandy explain exactly what it is, her journey with it, and how it shaped her life, and how it could even shape yours. Before we get going, I want to ask you to follow or subscribe to where you choose to get your podcast, as it means you'll never miss any future episodes. So, I've literally been seeing your page pop up so many times on the feed, because obviously Instagram has changed so much and it just recommends random people that I don't follow. And I kept seeing your videos and I was like, God, I need to interview this lady, because your knowledge on manifesting is insane. And there's this one thing where I'll tell you a little bit about my journey with manifesting in a second, but I get asked from my followers all the time about manifesting. And when you kind of know, you know, but it's so hard for me to get out in words what it's all about, because it's all energy, right? And it's so hard for me to be like, it will happen if you just let go and resist. And then they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, shit, okay, I don't know how to explain it properly. And so I see your videos and you just go into depth so much about it. And you have such a way with words as well. And plus your accent is amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I mean, it's this episode is literally going to be all about manifesting and how it works, but not just about, oh, I'm going to create a vision board and I'm going to create this and bring it into my existence. I want it to be a bit deeper than that, and the technicalities of how it actually does work, because I know that the past 5 years, my mum passed away 5 years ago, and that literally woke up my conscience and a part of my soul which never existed. And I've been on such a journey since then. I went on to lose a child. I went through a domestically abusive relationship. The universe just kept handing me these bad cards, right? But every time I overcame that part of pain and lesson, it was like my mind evolved every single time, kept getting higher and higher. And one day I'd wake up and be like, money isn't real, it's energy. And I'd be like, where did I get that from? And it was in a dream. And so like my body just kind of went with the awakening in such a different way. So I just kind of understood the manifesting part just naturally. But I know it doesn't really come to everybody like that. Where did it all begin with you?
I guess the moment I turned earth sign, right? But life was really crazy. You know, trauma growing up, and talk about, you know, everything that you're talking about, walking through some really dark days of my life and not knowing that I could do anything about it, or not perceiving that I was capable of it, not having the tools, not knowing any different. And so leaving quite a bit out, when I became an adult, a young adult, and I was looking back at my life, and I kind of went through all gamuts, victimhood, extreme frustration, making horrible decisions for myself, abusive relationships, you know, all that jazz. And then I sat there and I was like, there's got to be something else. And so there was this really defining moment when I was with this guy that I was dating, and he threw glass at my face. And he had been verbally and emotionally abusive for, you know, the years of our relationship. But the moment it turned physical, for some reason, that was my rock bottom. Talk any way you want to me, but don't hurt me. Yeah. And when he threw that at me, it was this incredible moment of, I'm not going to do this anymore. I've got to be here for something else. And I mean, it was so theatrical, but I dropped to my knees and I was literally calling out to my higher power, like, take everything away that doesn't belong. Bring me everything that does. And although I had education and understanding of psychology, and some of my friends worked in the craziest sectors of the government, I know the craziest of things. I couldn't take all that information, the knowingness of what life really is, and put it in my heart, because we process all this stuff in our mind. But it wasn't until that moment that I started actually opening my heart, or perceiving to open my heart and process all of the information and the trauma and what life was. And my life did a complete 180 and everything was different. And that was 2015.
Wow. Amazing. See, it's weird, as we're growing up, we get told and taught things that eventually as adults we have to undo, right? And we have to get rid of these restrictions that are placed on us, and our minds just kind of, it's really weird. We go to school and we're told we have to get a 9-to-5 job, and we have to, you know, we have to go and study this in order to be successful, but they don't, no one teaches us that actually everything is in here, right? So it's a very strange thing to tell somebody that is kind of conditioned to believe that money isn't what it seems like. So I have so many questions I want to ask you. I don't really know where to start. When it comes to manifesting, there is so much behind it. And you said that resistance is a big part of it. And I saw a video you were saying about how, you know, when a bill gets taken from your account and, I don't know, you say, oh, thank you, universe. Thank you that I can afford this. If your mind and your body and your soul doesn't believe with what is being said or thought, then you're actually counteracting what you're trying to manifest. And that's all to do with the way, yes, your body is vibing. How does that work?
So I remember, this was years ago, and I had a client and she said, Mandy, when I met you, I stopped doing affirmations. And I was like, that's interesting. Why? And she said, because I realized through, you know, your work, I talk about it, I call it embodiment. It's where you embody the frequency in which you desire. It's not fake it till you make it, or let's disassociate or escape, or, you know, whatever that is. Sometimes spirituality is used as escapism. And instead it was, she realized that when she sat there and did the mantras and the affirmations, which is why I'm very careful with mantras and affirmations. And I talk about how I don't really like them, because if I sit there and look in the mirror and say, I'm a billionaire, I'm a billionaire, I'm a billionaire. And if someone's sitting there and they're making, you know, $25,000 a year, they're going to say, this is a complete lie. And so the brain actually pushes it further away because it's not an understandable truth. And so a huge piece of it is building really a foundation of understanding, so that not only can you maintain the manifestation, but you have built a process in which you can't fall off of, right? Because sometimes I think people with manifestation, they're like, give me the lottery ticket and let me make, you know, wave a magic wand. And I think that that's how manifestation first was presented to the world. So all of us are sitting there going, why aren't we getting it? Why? This sounds awesome. And we felt the resonance of being able to create all that we desire. But what was missing in what, you know, years ago manifestation wasn't talking about is that we have to do the work. This is a trilogy of things. This is mind, emotions, and yes, energy. But the mind is what holds us back from the energy. It's what's dragging us down. So when we don't process the programming or the trauma or the things that are vibrationally affecting us and keeping us in denser emotional fields like guilt and shame and fear and obligation and, you know, all of those things, literally matter moves more slowly in those denser emotions. And emotions are one of the first units of consciousness. So whatever we direct our energy to, oh my gosh, the bill in the mail, or oh, my soulmate will never be here, we are unconsciously lending and transferring energy to that reality. Because it's not like the universe says, oh, I realize that even though you're thinking about what you don't want, that I understand that you don't want it. The universe is just a copier. So it's just going, this is where your energy is going. This is where your emotions go. So a huge piece of that, you know, to go roundabout answer your question, when we're looking at our personal vibration, I call it the dominant frequency effect. What are we dominantly vibrating in? What emotion do we most often cycle through? And until we start doing the work, we usually see that it's a denser emotion and it's from trauma or something from the past, and we're trying to protect ourselves from re-experiencing it, but we don't realize that we're basically attaching it to us by doing so.
Yeah, so it's so crazy trying to get out in words. So you're basically saying, so our bodies have to be aligned with a higher frequency, but like everything has to be aligned. So I can't just sit there, have an argument with the other half, be really, feel really crap that day, eat kind of shit food, you know, be vibing a little bit low because life has got in the way. I'm a bit stressed out, the baby's crying, but yeah, I'm trying to do affirmations in the mirror and be like, oh, I want this amount of money, or I want this to happen in my future.
It's such a small, such a small part of the game. So if you're like, I want a beautiful, healthy relationship with my partner, and I want to be a great parent, and all the things that you say you consciously desire. Like if I sat there and I was like, what do you want, Molly? And you'd be like, I want beautiful things, right? What happens though sometimes is that, okay, that energy for that 1 minute of the day, you do the affirmation, that energy, let's just say it goes out into the proverbial universe, and it's sent out and hopefully it comes back. But let's say that you're only doing affirmations for an hour a day. So 23 other hours of the day, whatever you are unconsciously telling yourself, what's in your subconscious, which is well, you know, my parents' love didn't last, or I'm used to conflict, and so I feel safer when we fight, or I'm so afraid of being a bad mom, and so I keep thinking about that, stressing myself out, and then I've become a bad mom, or I think that I am. And so then 23 other hours of the day, our energy is going in an oppositional direction, if you will. So even if we sit there all day long consciously saying, this is what I want, the subconscious is running the show. That's where the emotions are really coming from. Especially when we get triggered, let's say that your partner doesn't unload the dishwasher and you're like, they don't care about me. Oh my gosh. And you tell yourself all of this stuff, it creates an emotion, then it gets flooded into your reality. And it just continues in a cycle until we go, what's in the subconscious? I'm curious. Instead of being afraid of it, instead of avoiding it, instead of defaulting to what I normally default to, which is to, you know, throw the blanket over my head or fight or run away or, you know, whatever everyone's chosen trauma system is. Instead, we go, let me face it with love. And amazing things happen because it's almost like a fishing line being all tangled up and you're starting to detangle it. And what that does is bring all of that energy you're sending into so many different areas to into one. And you're like a laser towards what you desire because your energy and your thought consciousness is now in unison.
So you're saying we need to fix and heal ourselves on that journey that we should be doing anyway, but when things arise, we need to get to that root of it, and that's our subconscious. So say if I was in a bad place this past week because things haven't gone too well in my personal life, but usually I'm on the right track and I know that energy is everything and I'm vibing in a good place and I understand and I let things flow to me. This past like few weeks, I have felt a little bit stuck, and that's out of the ordinary for me because I know what I need to do. So are you saying that to get back on track, I have to address what's going on, because that's a deeper issue?
Yeah. So the funny thing is, and this is what I've found at least, let's say that you're working towards something or you're normally in a really high vibration or, you know, whatever that may be, you're setting that manifestation. We are manifesting all the time. This is not a just conscious process that we're like, I'm going to sit down and manifest. No, we're manifesting all the time. We are energetic beings and our body is an antenna. So we are constantly sending out information and energy and receiving it. And a lot of it is happening, again, unconsciously. But let's say that I'm like, man, I'm just having a really shit week. I don't know what's going on. I don't know, you know, what's happening, why I'm feeling this way. What I've noticed is it's not that it's actually gone to shit. It's not that, sorry that I'm cursing. It's not that it's bad in any way, shape, or form. We place a meaning on that. But for myself, and this is what I've learned, because I used to see, let's say I got triggered, or something wasn't happening the way I wanted, or if I was fighting with someone, I would immediately be like, the sky is falling, everything is bad, and then things would progressively get worse, and I would kind of spiral down into this lower and lower dense field. But what I noticed was that when I would get triggered, whether it was a very conscious or unconscious thing that was happening, I was telling myself something about what happened. And what I was telling myself was always something that was disempowering. They don't love me. I'm not safe. Love doesn't last. I'm not worthy. You know, whatever that was. Now, that was just so programmed into me that it seemed like a very natural reaction. But it wasn't natural. It wasn't my authentic self. It was my programmed way to react to life. So when I stopped seeing it for what I thought it was and broadened the perspective, I would say, oh my gosh, I just set this manifestation in motion 2 weeks ago, or this is something that I want. And when something shows up that seems in opposition to what we desire, it's not there to screw it up. It's actually there to ensure that we not only get it, but we maintain it. Because let's say that someone says, well, I want to be a millionaire or a billionaire, and then they go and win the lottery. How quick is it gone? Because they haven't built the vibrational ability, the foundation underneath them to sustain it. That's why also you'll see someone, I'm just going with money because it's an easy conversation. You'll see someone who is a millionaire or billionaire, and if they have understood the process and kind of played the energy game or whatever thing that got them there, they could lose it all and they'll rebuild it because they know how they got there. So I always say, like, I know that it's wonderful to wave a magic wand and just get what you want. And that comes in time, but we have to first dig into our mind and what we're telling ourselves and what's really going on in these unconscious conversations. And that is, as soon as I get triggered, what am I telling myself about this? If I'm fighting with my partner, what does that mean to me? If a bill comes in the mail, I've placed a meaning on it and it usually doesn't serve me. But when I start interrupting that flow of energy, I'm making my thought energy go somewhere else. So hopefully somewhere more empowering. And eventually the whole thing that I'm dealing with dissolves itself. It works itself out. Or at minimum, it was something on my soulful path to ensure that I get where I'm trying to go. It's not there to send me in the opposite direction. It's just showing what's in the way on my path to getting there.
That is so crazy hearing you say it like that. Like, people don't explain this enough, how in depth it is. There's so many layers to this. And yeah. I'm just going to cut like a really long story short. So I gave birth 6 months ago. I was with my partner, but then things in the relationship I was getting triggered by. So we separated because it was better for both of us. And so the manifesting thing kind of took a seat back a little bit. Things were getting slower and slower. So does the universe have timings to everything?
Okay, so I remember years ago, most of my relationships were quite dysfunctional and unfaithful. And so if they were late coming home or not answering their phone, it meant that they were probably with someone else. And so that was really embedded in me. Even, you know, my father was also very unfaithful to my mother. So it was the idea that love wasn't pure was very much programmed into me. I had a false perception of what love was. Love wasn't beautiful. Love was manipulation, and love was self-sacrifice, and love was pain. And so I remember this one day where my now husband, he had come home a little bit late. It was about 10 minutes late or something. And also my need for certainty, when he didn't show up when he said he would, I immediately got triggered. And a small part of me, although he was a very different partner than my previous ones, I was not seeing the world correctly. And I thought for a moment, maybe he's on the phone with a girl, or maybe something, I don't know. And he walked through the door with flowers, and he had stopped to get me flowers. And that's why he was like 5-10 minutes late. And I sat there and I was like, wow, I was about to fall into an entire part of myself, which I call a persona, that perceives the world from pain. And I was about to, you know, go nuts with it. And so I've noticed that when we're trying to create something beautiful, or when something triggers us and makes us feel like now we can't manifest what we want, or things are getting all foggy and messy, that's not really what's happening. It's our perception and what we're telling ourselves. And then we revert into an unhealed part of us, AKA a persona, and we see the world completely differently. We have a set of lenses on that do not serve us, that don't allow for us to continue to move forward towards our manifestations. And that's, you know, the definition of self-sabotage.
Wow, you've literally just said I was exactly the same. The triggering and the coming home late and the presumptions because of what happened to me in the past. How would you tell somebody to work through that?
So the first thing, because I don't know if you or anyone else is wired like I was, but when things would go wrong, I would immediately freak out because I'm like, oh, now things aren't going well. It's not working out. This isn't going to be good. And I would further spiral down, right? And so again, being in a persona, you just go into this funky place. And so it was me managing that. So I call it trigger management. So again, when you realize that you are upset, or all of a sudden you're like, I don't know, everything was great yesterday. Well, I don't even know what happened. All of a sudden I'm not feeling great today. We need to bring that into awareness. Awareness is like 99% of the solution sometimes. And so I started doing what I call energetic check-ins. So I would set an alarm on my phone every single freaking hour. It drove me insane at first because I did not like what I would find, but I would ask myself, what emotion am I in? What am I feeling right now? And if I felt different than I felt an hour ago, I know that within that hour, some type of a trigger happened and I need to manage it. And the way that you get out of that fog is what I call pattern interrupts. And the idea is, and it hits it on a neurological level as well, you know, and that's energy too, right? All things is, okay, what would I normally do when I get triggered? So if you're like, when my partner doesn't come home on time, I normally shut down, or I think, you know, that I hate myself because I'm not good enough for them to want to be home for, or it's triggering my abandonment, whatever you're telling yourself and what you would normally do. And instead you do the exact opposite. That's what we're looking for, is how do I shift the energy in such a way that it doesn't allow for that neurological pathway to continue, that it doesn't allow that thought to fully complete itself. And over time, what the brain actually does when you interrupt that energy, when you go, I'm going for a walk. Normally I would lay in bed, I'm going for a walk. Normally I would scream and yell. Instead, I'm going to take 5 minutes alone, and then I'm going to ask to be vulnerable and communicate. You're just going to do something different with that interrupt, that pattern interrupt. We're changing the pattern in our mind, in our brain, and in our energy field. And the cool thing that happens with that is that as we continue to do that more and more, and we feel good about it, and it starts to truly interrupt because we're not getting that juicy reward of, oh, I get to shut down emotionally, or, oh, I get to, you know, protect myself and think that I'm being safe when I'm not. And instead we lean into that, the brain will actually scan itself and it will start to strengthen those new neurological pathways, it will actually say, hey, this is a new thought, but this is one that I kind of like. And it will begin to strengthen it for us. And that's where manifestation, beautiful manifestation, becomes more effortless, because we've rewired how we react to the environment because we've mastered ourselves. So pattern interrupts. And again, that should be getting up and doing something physical. Like one of my favorite pattern interrupts is doing 10 jump squats when I feel like, ugh, I'm starting to feel icky energy. And then you can have a mental and emotional one. If you're fighting with your partner, turn it into a cartoon. Make everyone's voices like high pitched. Do something silly that makes you laugh, where you're like, I cannot take this as seriously as I normally would because I'm kind of playing a game with it. And then a spiritual one, like, you know, pray to your higher power, maybe stop and do a meditation, you know, something like that. But you're what, again, the intention is just to stop your consciousness from being lent to the reality in which you don't want. That's the intention.
You don't understand how many people need to hear what you're talking about. And it's crazy, because even with me, and I think, oh no, I think I know everything. And I've learned these little lessons and journeys. The rewiring of the brain, I used to watch a bit of Joe Dispenza and try and understand it. And I'd get it for a bit, but I'll never practice it. And so when things show up in your life and you just push it to one side, it'll keep freaking showing up. And that's what I've been doing, and, you know, just pushing it to the side. And people always ask me these questions, and I'm like, you know what? I actually don't know this one. I don't know the answer to this. And when I saw you speaking, I was just thinking, Mandy, this she knows. Everybody needs to hear about her. Like, it's just amazing. Like, you're literally amazing. But, you know, the first thing I read was A Secret. Everybody does, right? It's like this. It's like the starter pack for trying to manifest. I think I read it like 10 years ago. And that kind of, it's... I won't slate the book. It's, you know, it's good, but there is so much more to it, like you've said, and it's not just 10 bits of gratitude every morning. It's not affirmations in the mirror, because actually, funnily enough, I don't do affirmations like that. I don't find it helpful at all. But then when it comes to, is the timing right? Is the universe telling me I can't have this right now because there's a better time for it? What are your thoughts on that?
So I call this, there's two things to it. Divine timing, yes. And I also call it the highest good of all. And this has probably been like the magic potion. The two things, well, there's a bunch of things. That's a lie. But the two things I would say in this moment that shifted my ability to manifest consciously was, one, embodying unconditional love as I grew. Because what I call manifestation could probably also be called self-mastery. It wasn't about me mastering my environment or other people or even energy. It was me mastering myself. And like I said, getting that communication that I was having unconsciously with the world, which was basically just a constant trauma conversation of me avoiding pain. And there was no authenticity to it. And so I call it the highest good of all. And it is basically, if it is meant for me, if it is going to serve the world as well, and if I am taking all of existence into account here, because I am just one piece of an incredible puzzle, I am one cell in the body of all the cells of humanity, and if it is meant for me, may it come to me, and I surrender to if it is most, you know, if it's in the highest good. And one of the things that most people don't do when they manifest is they say, oh my gosh, I want to manifest a soulmate or a beautiful life or purpose work, something wonderful, or they want to manifest money. And then they immediately default to why it's not going to work. They're looking for it to show up. They freak out if it doesn't happen fast enough. And then they just vibrationally shoot down because of what they've told themselves. It's not about setting the manifestation that matters. It's what you do with once you have set the manifestation in motion. Because guaranteed, when you want something that you have never had in your life or you haven't had consistently, there is work to be done to maintain it. So everything that shows up after that is juicy, incredible feedback. And the timing changes based on how much someone is willing to lean into what shows up after the manifestation. So if I say, you know what? I've loved being a millionaire. I'm ready to be a billionaire. Let's just say that was my jam. Well, then immediately I am going to keep my ears and eyes open to everything that shows up that triggers me about money, that triggers me about my identity, that triggers me about who I perceive I would become if I stepped into that role. And I'm going to like a sponge, just wring all that juiciness out to understand it, to lean into it. And I'm going to condense by doing that. I'm not turning from and shoving everything under the rug. I am condensing time. I'm creating quantum leaps towards that vibration, towards that reality, because I am removing all of the blocks that were keeping me from it. You know, to add to that really quickly, I think hopefully this helps people. I used to be so afraid. My perception of doing the work was that it will be hard. I'll have to go back into all my traumas, and I have quite a few of them that I would not want to, you know, revisit per se. And I thought that I placed, if I don't do it this fast and in this way, then I'm unworthy. So I'd rather just not do the work at all. And it was so cool to lean into loving myself, granting myself grace as I stepped through the evolution of learning who I was, what that looked like. And manifestations happened instantaneously because I was so quickly reverting back to my authentic self instead of trying to manifest from something that was untrue in me or was out of resonance, if that makes sense. And so I always say, like, there is no judgment, there's no shame when we're growing, and we don't have to do it super fast. It can be 1% every day, but grant yourself grace as you do it. And my gosh, the manifestations are so quick and so beautiful. And you break a lot of rules along the way, but it is unbelievably quick when you're leaning into self-mastery and of course, loving yourself through it as you walk through that crazy path. But you don't have to go into every trauma. You just have to work on the belief that the trauma created, because that's the only thing that's showing up in the now.
Superpower State of Mind is brought to you by BetterHelp. BetterHelp shares so much of what I want to achieve with this podcast, making us all realize that taking care of our minds is one of the most important things we can do each day. I guess the mind is like a motor and it needs a little oil to help it function. And BetterHelp can be that oil we all need. Therapy for me has opened up pathways to possibilities. It's made me realize what my triggers are and how I can manage them. It's also helped me to understand what needs healing in my life and what needs working on. You might think therapy isn't for you or you can't afford it, but BetterHelp online therapy is more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. There are loads of ways to use BetterHelp: video, phone, and live chat only sessions. Listeners to Superpower State of Mind get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/Marlin. That's betterhelp.com/Marlin. So for 10% off your first month of BetterHelp online therapy, go to betterhelp.com/Marlin.
I've got shivers from speaking to you, and that doesn't happen often. It's crazy, because we know naturally as humans, we don't want to talk about the hard parts, the painful parts, and the trauma, and that's where we have to delve into, right? And speaking of like blocks and things that block us, creating resistance against manifesting, what would you say the biggest blocks are? Because I know what one of mine is. On the weekend when my little girl was with her dad, I don't know what to do with myself, so I'll go and see my friends on the Saturday, and I'll have alcohol. I'll have a few wines. And then the next day, I'll feel so crap. My mood will be low. My energy will be low. I'll feel vulnerable. You know, this is a depressant, right? And I'm back to kind of square one again. And so I decided to just cut it out completely, because I recognize that this is detrimental to me and it's not helping me in any way. And that for me has been one of my biggest blocks, but it's a coping mechanism from the trauma. For some reason, that's something that I've always gone to when I have found loneliness within myself.
Well, there's a few things I would say, but the one specific to your example is intentional energy. That is such a huge piece to releasing a block. I always say the action, or, you know, the thing that you want, let's just say the end result, the manifestation in and of itself, you can have anything you want. It doesn't matter what you want. You can have it. But the intention and why you want it, we'll decipher if it comes through beautifully or not. So for example, I always had this desire to have a house on a hill. I really wanted a house on a hill. Now, if I go way back 15 years ago, let's say, if someone were to say, why do you want the house on the hill? I would probably, if I was honest with myself, I would have said, because then maybe I'll be good enough, because then people will be proud of me, because I'll look accomplished, and then I can further hide from all of the chaotic shit that's going on inside of me. Of course, the house on the hill never came. And then I remember sitting there, I was pregnant with my youngest son. This was a couple years back, and I was in Laguna Beach, and I was on my little elliptical outside. I was working out, and I looked around and I was like, holy shit, I have the house on the hill. And I didn't even realize that the manifestation had come through until I sat there and I was like, I have it. And so I reverse engineer everything. I'm like, how did I do it? because I want to teach it to other people. You know, when you have an amazing life after you had such a shit life, you want to take everybody with you. So I'm like, how do I make sure everybody comes with, you know? And I was like, my intention, it was when I got this house, it was like, I'm so worth it. I want a beautiful place to talk to my higher power. And I have this baby growing inside of me and I want a wonderful home for it. So my intention, it was the same result, but my intentional energy shifted. And I see that a lot too with alcohol, right? And I come from a family of addicts. So I'm always, you know, careful with that because I did drugs when I was a teenager and stuff to numb out, to escape. And so when I looked at, you know, now when I have a glass of like biodynamic wine, I always stop and I go, just like when I eat my food and everything else, what's my intention? And if my intention is to escape, to avoid, it's a no. And that could be, I could exercise, insert, you know, take out glass of wine and put in exercise or whatever. If the intention is low or dense, it doesn't matter what you do. Just like, you know, I can't tell you how many celebrities and cool folks I get to work with. And they are, some of them, of course, are wildly happy. And some, their intentional energy is, for what they got, doesn't equate to any form of happiness. So if you go back to alcohol, yeah, if you're like, I'm sad, I miss my daughter, it reminds me, you know, I'm triggered because we're not, you know, together in this moment. That's understandable because that's avoiding. But I guarantee, and I'm not encouraging you to drink by any means, but I guarantee that if at some point in the future, you're like, my intention is to go and giggle with my girlfriends because I deserve it this week, those glasses of wine, your body wouldn't even let you feel hungover. It's the funkiest thing. So it's just that intentional energy. Why does somebody want what they want? And if they want it because they're giving their power away to it, because they think then I'll be happy if I have more money in the bank, then I'll feel loved when I lose weight, then life will be good when my soulmate shows up or whatever, you are holding fulfillment and abundance outside of yourself unconsciously, but very intentionally. So I always look at, what is my intentional energy behind what I want to create? And whenever my intention comes from love and excitement and happiness and beauty, it always shows up and it shows up wonderfully. But when my intention is rooted in fear or scarcity or guilt or shame, it's always a mess and it never turns out right.
You're flicking these switches in my brain, Mandy. I'm sat here looking across. I live in a barn and I'm in a yurt in the garden. And I can just, I'm looking outside into the view like, what the heck is happening? what would your typical day look like? Just for people that are listening that kind of want to implement a little bit of changes into their life or daily routine, what things do you do that help you to grow still and evolve every single day and be the best version of yourself?
So years and years ago, when I was in my corporate job and miserable and so forth, I lived off of routines. So when I started kind of waking up, if you will, I guess we'll call it that, I hated routines. So I avoided them like the plague for a few years because I was in like trauma burnout. You know, I had chosen so much inauthenticity and I was in such a sad place for so long that I was like, I want ultimate freedom. I want to do everything on, you know, an intuitive basis. And that was beautiful. And what I've noticed sometimes as we go through our healing journey, sometimes those things come back. And so I used to hate discipline because I used to be so disciplined. I had so much willpower to push through things that weren't even meant for me that I did it, you know, in an inappropriate way. And then a few years later, I found, oh, I'm starting to like routines again. I'm starting to like being disciplined. I have a healthy relationship with these things now. So I just want people to know, if you're like, I hate routines, I can't keep them, they may not be for you. And the bigger lesson is probably to lean in and intuitively ask yourself every day what needs to happen. Because consciousness on the planet is rising and the certain things that used to work naturally aren't going to work for us anymore, especially if we are expanding just like the universe. So we're going to meet new versions of us. But for myself today, as it sits, my routines shift and shake a little bit, but if I had like a perfect day, I would wake up, do my dry brushing. I like to do some type of physical self-care. My day is heavily peppered in with self-care because I'm working with millions of people every day with trauma and issues, and I'm helping them transmute. And, you know, my days are crazy. So self-care is what fuels me, you know, to get through all that. And so I usually do some type of bodily self-care and then lots of supplements, lots of nourishment after that. And then I do my workout. Finally back to working out. I also avoided that for a really long time because I had eating disorders and a really unhealthy perception of my body. And so I decided, screw it, I'll eat French fries and love myself anyway. So I just really got back into taking care of my body in that way. So working out and then meetings with my team. I have an amazing, amazing team. And then depending on the day, of course, it's podcasts or events. We have a retreat center. So sometimes I'm over there, or if I'm speaking in a summit, you know, that kind of goes throughout the day, and then I'll stop. I take my breaks. I go outside. I do my self-care. I'm checking in on my energy. And then my evenings are with my kids, you know, cooking for them, having a glass of wine if that feels right. Maybe, you know, a stretching yoga session, or if I have a girlfriend, or, you know, if we have family in town or whatever that looks like. But honestly, I don't have some crazy, I mean, I love folks who are like, this is my routine every single day. And they're hyper, hyper successful, or they, you know, seem to be, at least. And I can tell you right now, I coach all those people, so I know what's really going on in their heads. But, you know,
I love that. All of that's, I love that.
It's true. It's so true. You know, but yeah, so it looks a little different every day. But if I had to say anything, the main thing is that I have my self-care and connection with my loved ones and connection to my higher power, and then serving. Those are the things that need to be in a beautiful day for me, even if the routine itself changes.
When it comes to working, do you think sometimes today I want to kind of let go? I don't feel like working today. I feel like kind of chilling out and just doing me. Do you think that sends the wrong signal to the universe in terms of manifesting a career?
Do you think
we have to constantly keep working? Or do you know what I mean? Because where does a balance come in, where I go, oh, am I working enough, or am I putting too much in, or am I overthinking this now?
Again, it's looking at the intentional energy. So if I'm like, I don't feel, it's rare for me to not feel like working because I've worked through those perceptions. Usually if I don't feel like working, it's because I haven't done enough self-care, or I am, you know, just transmuted for someone who had some really bad trauma, and I'm just feeling them and I need to go and like rest and reflect and be alone for a moment. But I had such a false perception. I used to think that in order to be successful, you had to work 16 hours a day, grind it out, make it happen no matter what, you know, all that energy. And I did that for years. Yeah. And I made, like, literally, I can't do math, but I made probably 3% of what I make today financially. I am outrageously fulfilled. And I don't work, most days, I should say, at least, I don't work nearly as much. But when I don't feel like working, I don't. I simply don't. I know that there's a reason, and I lean in and understand why. And sometimes I'll be like, oh, I don't feel like working. And then really, I'm just afraid to be seen, because I have to, you know, speak at a really big summit and I'm a little bit nervous. Okay, well, I can change that, and then I'll step up and I have a great time. But if there's times where I'm like, I just need to rest, then I love myself enough to say, I'm not going to judge myself for that, because then it won't work, right? I'll rest and then I'll feel badly about myself. But I'll say, okay, that's cool. Today is a, you know, have a cup of tea and think about things and journal and understand why I feel this way today, so that I can shift it. But it's a very loving and gentle process with my work.
Definitely. I feel like I get mum guilt a lot, though, the balance between being a mum and working, because I've always worked so hard in my career and that focus has been everything for me. But since having my little girl, I mean, she's with her nanny right now, but I even have that guilt. It's only been, what, an hour? And I'm like, oh, I need to get back to her. So I try and juggle both, and it seems a bit hard at times, but that fear and that guilt kicks in, and that is not the energy that I want to be emitting, you know? So that's one thing that I find hard. And I know a lot of people do as well.
I had that quite a bit, the mom guilt thing, for quite some time. So I have two kids. One is my bonus son, so he's 11. And then I've got my youngest, who just turned 3. And we have nannies as well. And I remember thinking at first, like, oh my gosh, like, I feel so pretentious with the nanny. And I think it was probably a 10-second moment, just because I can rewire things so quickly because I know myself, right? That's the beauty of it. Things get really easy over time. I was like, oh, I'm worried that I will not look like a good mother, or that I, you know, my kids will grow up going, you weren't present enough for me, because I had that with my, you know, my parents. And I was like, oh, well then that's fine. Let me dissolve that and understand what parts are coming from my past and my own traumas have nothing to do with my kids. And now it's totally cool. I mean, yeah, I can't wait to go watch my 3-year-old go nuts, because he's so cute to watch and he's so funny and silly. But there's no guilt as to if I haven't spent enough time. It's just like, I miss him. You know, I miss my kids. I want to spend time with them. But I realize that the greatest gift I can give them is to show them not balance, because there's no such thing as a mom, you know, to balance it all, but what it looks like to serve the world and to also be embodying unconditional love for my children in every moment, so that it's not about the amount of time I spend, but the quality of the version of me that they get.
100%. So, so true. Hit the nail on the head with that as well. And it's interesting when you say about serving the world. I went on a show 5 years ago, made a little bit of money, and then it just kind of fizzled out. And this was when I was, I'll use the term asleep, right? And it was only when I lost my mum, went through all this trauma, and then figured out what my purpose was, and that was to help and shed light on things that I believed in and women's rights and things like that. And then the money aligned with the work that I was doing. And so my purpose and serving the world became my job, and it just felt effortless to me. And I was fortunate, and I'm fortunate enough to have the money aligned with that. And it's crazy how that works, right? Where it just doesn't feel like I'm working, but it is. But I'm also helping people with it. So
I always say that like, when someone's like, oh, I want financial abundance and blah, 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 I'm like, if you just focus on being happy and being the perfect puzzle piece that you're meant to be on this planet, it will all work out. The exact amount of money, happiness, love, abundance of all sorts knows exactly how to find you. And I tell people, I'm like, for some people, that's $30,000 a year. And for some, that's $30 million and everything in between. And it doesn't matter. But I guarantee that if you are your authentic self and you're healed and you're feeling good about what you do, that $30,000 will feel like $30 million. It's not the dollar amount. That's what society programmed us to believe. It is the true fulfillment of abundance. Abundance is a frequency. It's a frequency we feel and we embody every day. And everything else falls right into place.
So, so true. Honestly, I'm just gonna say thank you so much for coming on and speaking with me. I'm gonna wrap it up with one question. If there was one thing you could tell your younger self, what you kind of know now, what would it be?
Oh my gosh, so many things. It'd probably be like a book I'd write her, but the short version would be, you're so loved. You are beautiful. You are enough. Everything works out in the end. Dump him immediately. and it's not going to be scary. Life isn't scary when you stop running away from it. So face it.
I'm smiling so much. I've just been lit up during this chat. And it's weird because you meet people and you talk to people at the exact time you're meant to speak to them. And you've just completely opened up my mind to something completely new. And I can't wait for people to listen to this, because this is the shit that people need to hear. The real shit, right? The uncomfortable stuff and the things we need to process. So I can't thank you enough for coming on, honestly.
Superpower State of Mind really does apply to Mandy. I took so much from my time with her, and I hope you enjoyed listening to our conversation. I put some links to Mandy's work in the episode notes if you want to find out more about her and manifestation. Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast. I'll be back next week with my close friend, Sophia Varaji. So subscribe to the podcast and you can hear it as soon as it drops.